Ephesians chapter 6, again, if you will. If you'd like to stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you are physically able, we're going to be reading verses 10 through 20 once again. This time, we will be reading, as always, you read along with me out loud on the even verses. I'll read by myself on the odd verses. Going through verses 10 through verse 20 in Ephesians chapter 6, beginning altogether in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So as we continue to go through this study here in the book of Ephesians, and again, I am not one that is just relegated to following a schedule or a pre-supposed order of things all the time. I think that's a good way to live, if you will, generally speaking. But I do understand and realize there is a Holy Spirit of God. And I do understand and realize that He leads in mysterious ways. And there are times where sometimes you get on a subject and you begin to preach or teach or read about it or study about something, and the Lord just continues to lead you on that path. That's wonderful. But sometimes God takes us and maybe will lead us in this way for a bit and then turn directions and go this way. And that's fine. I'm all for that. So to say that is to say this is I feel like God wants us to continue to go down this path. So we're going to hoe this row one more time. You understand that we have to put forth and put on the whole armor of God, not just part of it. You understand that our loins ought to be girt about with truth. If we're going to stand and withstand and having done all to stand in the evil day. We've already spoken much about the wiles of the devil, his devices, how he works, how he operates, so that we can know our enemy and know what to do when he comes against us. It's not if, it's when, folks. Okay? Now, we know that there are invisible enemies, the principalities and the powers and the rulers of darkness in this world. We know that we must, if we're going to be successful, take and put on the whole armor of God. You see, folks, it's our duty. It's our reasonable service to stand and to have done all to stand. We talked about the interesting comment and wording of verses 14 and 15, where the Bible says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. I'm not going to go into an English lesson there, but the word having is a special word. Okay? It means it's already in possession. Having your loins girt about with truth. And having on the breastplate of righteousness. And then there's a semicolon. It says, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We could insert another having there, if you will, because of the connection of the sentence. So these are things that are supposed to be true in our lives as believers. Having your loins girt about with truth. Having on the breastplate of righteousness. and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We've discussed these matters in great detail. So today I want you to look at how he continues in verse 16. He uses a different word here. He says, above all, taking. Did you notice the difference? In the first three elements of the armor of God that we ought to put on, he says, hey, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now he uses another word and says, above all, taking the shield of faith. You know, if I say having something, you feel like it's in your possession already, right? It's kind of in your hands, or it's tangible, it's already there. And if you say, but I want you to take something, right? Taking. What does taking have the connotation of? Yeah, going and getting it, right? Picking it up. Somebody said, I want you to take your hymnals, right? What are you going to do? You're going to pick up your hymnals and you're going to put them in your hands, right? So he says, you know, because we're having our loins girt about with truth. That's on us, right? It's on our person. And the breastplate of righteousness, it's on our person, right? And our feet shod with the breast. That's on our person. Everybody okay with that? And then he says, taking. Taking. The shield of faith. Several months ago, probably over a year ago, I can't remember. I should have gone back and looked it up. But remember I preached and talked about faith and the disciples? Remember it was little faith, no faith, much faith, great faith, right? Maybe if you don't remember, I can preach it again next week. We can go over it again if you'd like. I'll just go dig it out of my pile of sermons. But remember how Jesus chastened and chastised the disciples about their faith? How come you have so little faith? What's wrong with you? You eat with me. You dwell with me. You walk around with me these 3.5 years. What? Y'all don't get it? What's wrong with you? I mean, remember they're in the ship and the storm comes up and Jesus is asleep on the pillow in the back of the boat. And the disciples, they're seasoned fishermen, most of them. Right? And they know what to do in a storm. They've been in storms before. And they all freak out and there's water coming in the boat and they go back and say, Lord, Master, carest thou not that we perish? No, guys, Jesus doesn't care about you at all. I mean, I'm sorry, I'm a little sarcastic when it comes to those things. I mean, really, guys, come on. Yes, he cares. He's asleep in the boat. Does he seem concerned? And of course, the Son of God, this man that raises people from the dead, and this man that feeds the 5,000, and this man that heals blindness and leprosy and all these things. Yeah, he's gonna let himself sink down to the bottom of the sea. Right? No. I mean, come on. You understand that we need to take the shield of faith. It says here that above all. Now, you can say that it's more important above all, right? Or you can kind of use it in the way I like to think about it. I believe that faith is ultimately important because for by grace are ye saved through faith. Okay? It takes faith, folks. Listen to me. I believe that this book is the Word of God. 100% without a shadow of doubt from the bottom of my feet, top of my bald head. Okay? You say it's not bald. Yes, it is. That this is the Word of God. But can I tell you something? And I'll admit this. Ultimately, it's by faith. It's by faith. Salvation, I believe that I'm saved, that I'm born again, I'm going to heaven, not because of me, without my merit, right? All Him. But guess what it's by? Faith. So yeah, you can say it's above all in that connotation. But think about a shield. Especially maybe like a Roman shield. Those things were big. I just go back and study war a little bit in history and look at all the different kinds of shields that different cultures and people groups had. Made of different materials, different sizes, different shapes, and guess what? They all had different purposes too. But some of those shields were pretty big, where a whole man could get behind a shield and be completely covered by it. How's that for protection? Pretty good. And sometimes, in some of those situations, there were different methods of battle strategy. Sometimes these guys could interlock their shields, making a complete wall. Pretty cool. From a war standpoint. Okay. I like that kind of stuff. But do you understand? I mean, neat, huh? So you could kind of take that thing as an above all in that way too, couldn't you? But the point is that this faith is something that needs to be grasped, to take upon us. We need to grab hold of it, if you will. It doesn't the Bible say to earnestly contend for the faith? What do you think of that? Action word, right? Kind of like taking. It's not just having faith, it's grabbing hold of it. Taking the shield of faith. I get excited. I'm sorry. I'm a little more loud than I usually am today. But I get excited when I notice these differences between having something and taking something. The little things in the Bible that just jump out at you are the things that tickle me. I just like, oh, God is good. Because he tells us exactly what he wants us to know. And you ought to get giddy about it, okay? You ought to get excited about it. It ought to excite you that God cares enough to tell us exactly what he wants us to do. Hell, he clearly communicates with us that not only do we need to have our loins girded about with truth, and have on the breastplate of righteousness, and have our feet shod, but we need to take the shield of faith above all. He goes on and says, wherewith? What is this shield of faith for? He says, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. What is the number one thing that the devil wants to do to the Christian? Minimize their faith. Minimize their faith. The smaller your faith, the smaller the work that you'll do for God. The smaller your faith, the smaller your fruit. An amount of fruit that you'll produce for God. Think of someone who has little faith, or as Jesus told his disciples, no faith. He's like, what? How is this, guys? You're my disciples. You're the ones I chose. How is it that you have no faith? No faith, no fruit. Little faith, little fruit. Much faith, much fruit. Folks, there's a correlation there. Hey, we need to make sure that we're taking the shield of faith wherewith we're able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Remember, I told you about the different sizes of the shields. Okay, if I have a shield this big, how am I going to do quenching fiery darts? This much. Right? If I have a shield of faith this big, I'm going to do what? Better. Okay? If I have a shield of faith this big, how am I going to do? Better. Right? If I have a shield of faith this big,
I'm not going to pick it up. I probably couldn't do it anyways. But guess what? How am I doing? Great. Yeah. See how that works? Hey, didn't the disciples ask the Lord to increase their faith? Hey, God, I'm going to take this shield of faith. I know it's kind of small, but would you increase my shield? Maybe get a better shield, a bigger shield. Shield that covers more ground so I can quench more darts. Because guess what? I might be able to go for a while. But you know how it is in battle. These guys that have small shields, when the arrows start coming out, they're in trouble. Yeah. Why do you think the Roman army was so successful? They'd get together and they'd lock those shields and nothing could get through. It was amazing. You understand that we can do amazing things for the Lord if we'll take the shield of faith and make it a big shield to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. A shield simply means to cover from danger, to defend, to protect, to secure from assault or injury. Jesus said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed. This is funny. I wish I had a mustard seed. Here's my little shield. I bet you can't get me. You know, I mean, a mustard, and you can hold it between your fingers and barely feel it. You know, it's so small. But you understand, God wants to use our faith. He's like, hey, fellas, if you just believe. In Luke 22, the Bible tells us, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. Wouldn't it be grand? Or isn't, I'm sorry, I shouldn't say wouldn't be. Isn't it grand to know that Jesus is praying for us? He's our advocate. He goes to God on our behalf, folks. What a phrase, what a statement, that our faith fail not. You think God is concerned with the size of our faith? Yes. Does he want us to have great faith? Yes. I mean, he wants us to have faith as big as this pulpit, so that we can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. You understand that our faith and the size of our faith is up to us. We need to increase our faith. We need to ask God to increase our faith. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What are you hoping for? What are you looking for? Are we looking for the coming of the Lord? We have faith that he's coming soon, coming again. How is that faith? Is it big or is it small? Is it medium sized? And guess what? The other day, I went to Whataburger. Amen. I like Whataburger. It's Whataburger, not Whataburger. It's Whataburger, right? I went there, and guess what I decided? Just on a whim, I decided to get the what a size. I mean, it cost me 80 cents more, but I went ahead. Get me a large fry and a large drink. Why? Because I love fried potatoes. They're fantastic. Anything fried in Greece is fantastic. Okay? At the state fair is going on, right? You can get fried Oreos, fried ice, you know, fried whatever. They probably even do fried old shoes or something like that. Who knows? They probably would taste good. I don't know. Anything dipped in batter and deep fried ought to be good, right? That's just how it is. But where was I going? Oh, what a size. Yeah, I made the meal what? Bigger. I refrained from getting the triple. Is that a number five or six, whatever it is? But, you know, I just decided I don't ever do this usually. I got the what a size. Hey, what about us in our lives? Why don't we go for the what a size faith? Why don't we increase our faith? Why don't we ask God to work in us and increase our faith? In James chapter 2, the Bible says, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith
and have not works. He says, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace and be warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead being alone. You say, yeah, my faith is over here. No, it says, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. You know what you got to do? You got to pick that thing up. And you got to put it into employment. You've got to actually put it out there so it can quench all the fiery darts. And guess what? You even got to kind of move it around a little bit. If it's a smaller shield. Because, you know, if you're holding the shield here, right, and it covers this part of you, guess what? Somebody from over here can shoot an arrow and hit you. Right here. So guess what? I've got my faith. Right here it is. Shh. I'm not moving it. Right? That's stupid. I'm a little blunt. Guess what? It's action. Faith without works is dead, folks. Oh yeah, I have faith, but I'm not going to do anything about it. I'm sorry. That's stupid. And if I just called you stupid, I'm really not sorry. But he says faith without works is dead. He said, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Think about that story. In the record of that story, there is not one single mention of a negative response by Abraham. Not one. God told him to do something off the wall. And if you don't think offering your only son that you had when you were over 90 years old is off the wall, you don't know what off the wall is. And he took him without word. Without a negative response. Said, okay, come on, son. Let's get the sacrifice. Let's get the wood. Let's go up here. You know, we're gonna go sacrifice. Actually, they didn't bring anything, did they? And they went up there to the mountain. And I'm talking about Abraham and not Noah. I made that mistake a long time ago. I misspoke that one sermon years ago. Well, not quite years. Year and a half ago. Yeah, whatever. Anyway, rabbit trails. Get out of here. And he goes up there and he tells his servants, hey, we'll be back. What does that show, folks? It's faith. How big was Abraham's faith, folks? Yeah. This is not really a word. Ginormous. It was huge. That's big faith. How about this? Tying up your son. Placing him on the wood. Raising the knife. Wow. You know what I believe? I believe Abraham would have even dropped the knife into his son, killing him, believing that God would raise him up from the dead. That's how much faith Abraham had. That's how much faith he had. How is your faith? In 1 John, the Bible says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him, that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. We sing that song, right? Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world.
is faith. He says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able. Hey, what does that say? That's faith in itself. You shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. That phrase in itself is faith, isn't it? Lived out in our lives. God wants us to take the shield of faith. Look at verse 17. He continues with this thing of taking. And take the helmet of salvation. Take it. Take the helmet of salvation is the next part of the whole armor of God. This protective head covering, usually made of some hard material to resist impact. Hey, let me ask you a question. How important to you is your head? let me just suggest something to you. It's very important. Because without it, it's not going to be very good for you. Okay? You can just go back to the history of the guillotine days. How did the folks do without their head? Not well. Kind of need that, don't they? We need to take the helmet of salvation. What is it that, if you will, gets us to heaven? It's salvation. Oh, you can't get to heaven without S-A-L-V-A-T-I-O-N. Little Sunday school song? Anybody ever sing that one? Yeah. You can't get there without it, can you? We need to take the helmet of salvation. Once we have salvation, guess what it is? A great asset to us in our lives as Christians. You know why I'm so bold? Because I know I have salvation. I have taken salvation. You know, salvation is not something you just get because somebody else has it. You have to take it for yourself. It's that gift of God. It's offered to everyone, but you have to receive it for you. You know what helmets are? They're kind of individual. I have a small head. Okay? 6 7/8 hat size, which is somewhat small. Okay? I went to boot camp with a guy that had a size 8 head. Big head. Yeah. It was funny because they hardly have a hat that would fit him. There's all different shapes and sizes of heads. You understand? And you know these football players, they go out and play football. What do? They fit their helmets. Okay, this individual is personalized. Hey, take the helmet of salvation. We were talking this morning about Timothy in Sunday school. Paul writes in 2 Timothy 1, it says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and am persuaded that in thee also, wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting out of my hands. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. What does salvation protect us? In our mind. What does the devil try to do? Oh, you can't be saved. Oh, you're a sinner. God cannot love someone like you. God can't overlook and forgive and forget about all of those wicked, evil, vile things that you've done in your life. And he tries to cause you to doubt your salvation. What's he doing? He's attacking your head. Playing mind games with you. No, folks, we got to take salvation. Hey, look, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I know this is not a hat, but I'm wearing one like one. I'm going to protect myself knowing that I'm saved.
Because salvation is not of me, it's of Christ. Amen. It's of God. It's His righteousness that I put on. It's His blood that's paid for my sins. It's protecting me. And guess what? Because it's of no merit of my own, for by grace are ye saved through faith. Guess what? I've got nothing to do with it. It's out of my hands. And it's in His hands. And no man can pluck them out of His hand. Isn't that great? Guess what? I'm protected. That devil, he can't fuss with me. He can't mess with me. No way. I am safe. Because I've taken the helmet of salvation. You understand that the Bible tells us and beseeches us in Romans 12. Therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that perfect, good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Isn't that amazing? It's the helmet of salvation. And we need to take it unto us. And as it says in verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God. Over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, the Bible tells us, but of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then a sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. But what's that saying, folks? They're prepared. They've taken the shield of faith, and they've taken the helmet of salvation. They're brethren. They're saved. They're born again. It says, ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. Isn't that amazing? Twice in Scripture, it calls salvation a helmet. We have this opportunity to put on the helmet of salvation, to take the salvation, the helmet of salvation, to protect our minds from the wiles of the devil. You know the guy that goes out there into battle without a helmet? What is he at risk of? Being killed? Now, does a helmet, if you will, take away that risk altogether? No, but it does what? Protect you. Protect you. Can the devil still get at you? Perhaps. That's why he says, neither give place to the devil. Don't give him a place to get you. Later on in that passage in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it says this, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. Folks, listen, we have salvation. We have a record of it. And we need to take that salvation and use it as a helmet to deflect all the things that the devil tries to attack us with. When the devil says that you're a dirty, rotten, filthy sinner, just say, yes, I am, but I'm saved by the blood. Oh, yes, I've done all those things, but guess what? They're under the blood. He's removed them as far as the east is from the west. Put them in the depths of the sea. It's the helmet of salvation. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to take it. We're supposed to take it and put it on and be able to withstand in the evil day. In 1 John chapter 5, for those of you that may be doubting your salvation or you're not sure whether you can take and put on that helmet or not, it says this simply, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Here's the simplicity of it. Ready? He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. If we're going to stand and withstand in the evil day, we need to have on truth. We need to have on the righteousness of Christ. We need to have on the preparation of the gospel of peace. And we need to take the shield of faith and take the helmet of salvation to be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. You know, these things are considered the armor of God. They're considered the whole armor of God. They're the defensive arms. They're worn to protect the body in battle. They're complete. They consist of these different elements, like the loins girt about, the breastplate, the feet shod, the shield, the helmet. These are all for defensive purposes. And next week, Lord be willing, we're going to talk a little bit about those offensive parts. Because guess what Christian's supposed to do? Onward, Christian soldiers. Yeah. Not rearward Christian soldiers. We're supposed to be going forward into battle. Pushing forward. Pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Being protected by the whole armor of God. Having that shield of faith. Quenching the fiery darts. Oh, brothers and sisters, there's one more taking. Sword of the Spirit. We have an offensive weapon. And rather too, if we go on and talk about it, but we will, I promise. Going forward for the Lord. Standing and withstanding. And pressing forward for Christ.